Welcome to Cartridge Command, your weekly retro gaming podcast where we discuss and review the classic
and not so classic games of the 8 and 16-bit era. I'm Nick.
And I'm Eric.
And this week's game is Atomic Punk for the Game Boy.
Atomic Punk was developed by Hudson Soft and published by them in Japan and the US. It was released in Japan in August of 1990 and in North America in May of 91.
All right.
It was published by the big N themselves, Nintendo, in Europe, also in 91.
Okay, all around.
But in each territory, this game was released under a different name.
Right, yeah.
In Japan, this was Bomber Boy. In Europe, Dyna Blaster.
Okay.
And here, in America, of course, Atomic Punk, not to be confused with the wonderful Van Halen song of the same name.
A song I never heard of until researching this game.
It's on their first album.
Yeah, no, it's pretty rocking, especially for 78.
Definitely. Now, one of the reasons they used that name for the Game Boy version is that the arcade version of Bomberman was also called Atomic Punk in the United States.
Oh, okay.
But also because it was the 90s, and they wanted to make everything way cooler. It's
hip, edgy. Well, let me ask you this. So the arcade Atomic Punk, did that character look punkish, or was it just Bomberman?
No, it's just Bomberman.
Okay. Just curious, because, you know, it's pretty funny with this game where you get the title, Atomic Punk, and it's got a punk rock kid even on the cover, you know, rainbow mohawk and all this. And
he looks cool.
As soon as you start the game, it's like, no, he just looks like Bomberman, and we call you kid, and no more mention of any punkiness at all.
Not at all. And, you know, as you may have realized that, yes, this is a Bomberman game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bomberman games were not consistently named across territories for those first releases. But the first one was released in 1983 in Japan, and mainly on Japanese home computers.
Sure, sure. I've seen pictures from the very basic graphics of these ancient games.
But it was in 1985 when it was ported to the Famicom that it really blew up.
Yeah.
Pun intended. Now, one of my favorite facts was that in England, it was released as Eric and the Floaters.
Okay.
You can imagine, though, they did not want a game that referenced a lot of bombing in that territory in the 80s. Late 80s.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if floaters.
Still not great.
Yeah,
but as an Eric, I need a copy of that game cover. Now, there was a few sequels over the years to Bomberman and spinoffs and whatnot. How many sequels or spinoffs to Bomberman do you think there are?
I have no idea. I know there's a bunch because they really, I don't know, like 10?
No, not 10.
11.
By my count, there is more than 80.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, those first 20 years, they were just bombering everything.
No, I imagine at some point, you know, this is a game that you could relatively easily put on mobile devices. So,
yeah, I mean, but
proliferation thereof.
Lots of weird spinoffs, lots of sequels. I mean, you and I, we played the Super Nintendo sequel a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Mrs. here, Jamie, she played the DS Bomberland game a great deal.
Oh, sure. Okay.
At one point in time, which is actually not even really a Bomberman game at all. It's just like a mini game.
Hey, fair enough.
With lots of bombs in it. But in the past few years, the Bomberman license has really slowed down. You know, since 2010, there's only been, I think, five new Bomberman games.
Oh, wow. What a desert. A bombing desert.
With the most recent Super Bomberman R2.
Okay.
Nick, what kind of game is Atomic Punk?
It is an overhead action. You know, I want to say puzzler, but is it a puzzle game?
Puzzle action? I mean, it's kinda a Bomberman game. It's kind of its own genre in a way.
It is weird because I don't know because, you know, it's not a game. It's not like Lolo where you're thinking or planning. It's mostly just like it's action, reaction, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is, since it is in those early era of one screen games, It does have that feel of a puzzler, but you know, it's not a puzzle game, just as Pac-Man is not a puzzle game.
Right, right.
And in this game, you cannot jump.
You can't even think of it.
Don't even think about jumping because it's not an option. You can walk around though and drop bombs.
That's right. You can drop bombs that will explode after, well, like 2-3 seconds of a certain delay, and they will explode in four directions, destroying bricks or enemies or yourself that are touched by the resulting fiery plus sign of death.
Yeah, and as it begins, the bomb only extends, or the bomb's fire only extends in one square out from that central bomb.
That's right, yep.
And when you start, you have the ability to lay down a bomb, but all of these things can be augmented.
That's right. You get your power-ups that the manual and game at points, frustratingly, I think, calls panels, which I don't fully understand, but there's a decent selection of them that power up your basic abilities as well as give you other kind of powers. I don't know.
Yeah, and these are not normal power-ups in the sense of when you get them, they are instantly activated.
That's right, yeah.
You must use them at the beginning of a stage. You have the option to then equip as many tiles as you want.
That's right. They're, you know, it's a inventory system of sorts where, and I mean, how many you can hold up to 10 at one go?
10 different tiles.
You can equip them. Yes. But
yeah, you can equip 10 different tiles, but you can hold in your reserves 30.
I was going to guess 30. I didn't bump up against that, but
I did not either. And there are two ways to acquire these tiles.
Yeah, you can either, sometimes you can find them in blocks that you have, you know, destroyable terrain that you've bombed.
Which they encourage you to do.
Yeah, it's pretty rare though, I found. I didn't find a whole
much
lot.
Much rarer than I was anticipating.
Yeah, same here. But the rest is, you know, there is a shop that you can purchase many of these. You kind of unlock different panels as you defeat certain levels. So, and once you do, they are available at the shop for you to buy.
Now, whether you've bought the panels or you discovered them in a stage, you have the option to equip more panels every single level inside a stage.
Yeah.
And the ones you equip, most of them stay with you for the entire stage through multiple levels.
Right, right.
Most. And I think this is a perfect time to talk about these panels so we can go into a little more detail.
Let's get into them.
Panel time.
The panel.
The first panel, first up, let's talk about the elixir.
This is kind of your most basic one. It costs 100 gold.
And we didn't talk about it, but you get gold for completing a level and for the bonus time left on the clock when completing a level.
That's right. Also, you get gold for blowing up blocks.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it kind of adds them together. It adds that in the... So there's a weird push-pull because it's like you can waste time looking for power-ups if you're me, but you do get some blocks back or some more gold, but it doesn't... I think you're better off just taking the time. It gives you more, personally. I don't know.
So as you said, this elixir costs 100 gold. Icon looks like a beaker.
Sure, yeah. Or a potion, you might say, but... Basically, this is kind of like if you get hit, or you're only a one-hit wonder here, so if you take damage, then you would normally die, but this will revive you in a kind of like a fairy in the Zelda Link to the Past.
Yeah, it is incredibly useful, and towards the later end of the game, I think all ends are later, the later half of the game, it is almost necessary in certain level.
Yeah, the stuff gets pretty hairy, so you're going to, it's nice to be able to... Even if you don't screw up, it's like you can burn a hit if it's just too tough, you know?
Yeah, and this one is unlocked from the beginning of the game.
That's right.
Next up, we have the bomb up.
Bomb up, yes. This looks, you know, the elixir is a square panel, and the bomb up is round. And there are three round panels, and they are not consumed when you use them. However, the square ones are. So this just...
Right.
You for every bomb up that you equip, then you can place an additional bomb in the level as you play.
And you can't add more than two until you beat the Wather stage.
The Wather.
But, I mean, this is incredibly useful. You're going to need to be able to, you know, chaining bombs together is a technique that is necessary for some of the squirrelier enemies in the game.
Oh, absolutely. And as well as saving you time. You know, we haven't really mentioned it, but there is a time limit in this game. And when you're trying to blow all these bricks away, you know, this helps, you know, can double or triple your speed. It's very important.
For sure. Now, continuing with the round panels, we have the fire up. And like the bomb up, it is also unlocked from the beginning of the game.
And this extends the explosion distance, you know, per an additional tile for every fire up that you have equipped. Mm-hmm.
So your plus or cross that starts at the bomb, with each fire up, it extends one more block out. So starting with the base bomb, it's just a plus. You add mm-hmm. a fire up, then from that center block, it goes two out. And this one is kind of a double-edged sword.
Oh, yeah.
Because as you can increase the amount of the fire, you also increase the chances of it hitting you as you run away from it.
Yeah, so it is definitely demands some care in taking.
I don't think I ever used more than three of these reason.
Maybe use, I don't even know if I went up to three, to be honest. Mm-hmm. We should mention that this fire up as well as the bomb up both cost 50 gold.
A bargain.
A deal. A bomber deal.
Next up we have speed up. Icon, roller skates.
Oh yeah, and this costs a mere 20 gold and is a very important one because it just increases your movement for every speed up that you get. So I like to have at least two generally.
Oh, I think this is a necessary, like a must have. You are too slow without one of these.
Absolutely. And you know, this is what you need to make any of those fire ups.
You can't use two fire ups without this or you will die.
Yeah, you just won't be able to get away. But although it does kind of carry the, if you think of, say, in Gradius or Life Force, where it's like you can't get too fast and get a little squirrely, but
mm-hmm.
I wasn't really too big of a problem.
No, I usually cap myself at two, and this is unlocked when you complete the Hevel stage.
Right on.
And I think this one also lasts through a whole stage, correct?
Yeah. This is a round one as well, yeah. So...
Okay.
It stays with you. It doesn't get consumed when you use it.
But the next one does.
That's right. Another square.
The wall pass. Not to be confused with the hall pass.
Yeah. And this is a pretty useful in some ways. It lets you basically walk through blocks without having mm-hmm. to destroy them, which is nice. It will disappear after using it.
Mm-hmm. I don't really think it's that great, though. I mean,
no, I took a couple just to mess around with it, but I mean, yeah, it can help if you make mistakes or corner yourself. You just but
I never purchased one. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, they do cost 50 gold, so it's a little steep, I suppose.
And their icon is a running man.
Yes, which is kind of deceptive. You might think it's a speed up at first, but it's not.
I did get confused at one point.
Yeah.
And you get it from completing the Kulsi stage, and I'm really. Or the Coalesce stage. Who knows?
Some weird stage names. Now, let me ask you about, for this and a couple other power-ups, does it just automatically activate when you walk into a block that you normally wouldn't be able to? Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. It's kind of tricksy on using it or not using it, you know?
So if you equip it, you can accidentally use it almost instantly.
So, yeah, so be careful.
Mm-hmm. Just like the next one, the bomb pass.
That's right. This bad boy costs 40 gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it just lets you walk through bombs. Does that include the explosions?
Yes.
Okay. I should hope so, because these passes didn't. I didn't. Old Nickster didn't use a whole lot. TBH.
Again, never purchased one of these. Only used the ones that I found in levels or was gifted to me. As we should mention, you usually get one from the levels that unlock it.
That's right.
The stage that unlocks it. It looks like a moving bomb.
Yeah. So get that pass and get trucking.
Next up is quite possibly the most useless of the items, the timer.
The timer. 50 gold pieces for this, and it stops time for some amount of time. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not that great. Did not really use it, to be honest.
I never used it. I think I sold some of these.
The timer doesn't really... I didn't have... Only a few stages was time...
The beginning.
It was a big factor, but...
It looks like a stopwatch, but the real MVP, and I feel like a must-have in a few of the later stages, is the fire pass.
Yes, and it is pricey at 100 gold, but worth it, because this lets you walk through flames without taking any damage.
You can walk through both the fire and the flames.
Yeah.
It looks like a person on fire.
Yeah, so it may look deadly, but it is not. That person's actually partying. They're saying this is fine.
I don't think I ever purchased any of these. I did find a few, and I used all of the ones I found towards the end.
I did just to play around a bit. I don't know. Check them out. But they're definitely nice in the final, the end of the game, we'll say.
And then I want to finish up with my favorite, and one I wish I would have used a lot more. That's the Remocon.
Yes, which, while somewhat inexplicably named, is a remote. I guess that's a portmanteau of remote controller. For a mere 30 gold, you can press B to set off the last place bomb?
No, the first bomb you've placed. So
the first one? Okay.
Yeah, they go in order. And I love that its icon is a heart with a bomb in it.
That's right, yeah.
And
beautiful.
It is cool. It only works for one level.
That's right. It is a square. Yeah.
Yeah. But it makes life so much easier.
Especially for killing enemies where instead of having to time the fuse of the bomb versus the movement of the enemy, you can just wait. And, you know, it's, I think, the only time you use the B button in the game, right?
That's the only time I did. Now, there are four more panels that you only find in-game. These cannot be purchased. They're in the levels themselves and are exposed when blowing up blocks or bricks.
Right on.
You have the exit.
Yeah, which we haven't really talked about, but, you know, your goal in a given screen is to kill all the enemies and find the exit, which is hidden under destroyable terrain or bricks.
Yes, which is sometimes the biggest challenge of the level.
It can be, you know, especially if you're running out of time.
But if you do have this, or you find this, you just walk into it and the level is over.
Yes. So, hot dog.
Next up is the invincibility, or exclamation mark.
Yeah, which is what it sounds like, and it lasts for 10 seconds, right?
Or the thing I'm reading says 10 time points.
Time points.
And it is honestly not that useful.
No, not really. Especially,
you don't get to control when you get it.
Right, and pretty quickly, it's in throughout the game. It's like you have fire passes or other bomb, ways to do it better.
I honestly only remember getting it, I think, once or twice.
Yeah, I can only think of one time that I don't know, wasn't a priority for me.
And because I can't count, let's talk about the third and final in-game panel. There's not four of them, and that is the bonus panel.
Yeah, it looks like a Game Boy, which I didn't realize at first, but now I do.
I did, and it very much confused me. I was like, what is this Game Boy? Like, what could it do for me?
Does this look like, is this a remote control? No, it adds 500 points to your score, which, meh.
Meh, indeed.
That score does not do anything that I know of in this game.
No. Let's talk about lives.
So you just have the one, right? Or you die, and
that's
then
correct.
You have to start over. And one of the trickiest parts about it is all of these panels you've been purchasing, the ones you've equipped, will be gone when you die. You lose them all.
Now, the good news is that there are continues and a password system.
That's right.
Now, the password only gives you access to the world you've conquered. You know, it does not take you to the very level you went to, but still pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's better than nothing, of course. And
especially for a Game Boy game.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we mentioned the store before, which is a location you go to in between the stages. But, you know, it does let you choose from 8 different areas, kind of in a Mega Man fashion, too. You can take these stages in any order, although some are markedly harder than others.
Nice part is, they tell you the difficulty level of each stage.
Yes, yeah, as well as, you know, each one will unlock a different panel, so it does kind of have that Mega Man feel where, you know, if you really want this particular power, you could go to that one first.
Or if you want to, you know, my standard of, let's do the harder first, save some dessert for later.
Sure, yeah.
It's a tactic I like to take, but also one of them is locked.
Oh, the final?
The final one you cannot do until you have completed the others.
Okay, I didn't even try.
Oh, I did.
Oh, oh, oh.
Then in addition to the standard Atomic Punk game, there is a Mode B or Game B.
Cuban B.
Indeed.
No, this, yeah, it's just Bomberman, right?
It is just Bomberman. You are Bomberman. It's a standard Bomberman game with all the standard Bomberman items.
I only played a little bit, but it does it right, and it's got its own enemies. It's got a separate cast of enemies than the other than the Atomic Punk,
which we're not going to get into because we might be talking about Bomberman at some point.
Yeah,
or Super Bomberman, and it's kind of the same thing.
But it does, as the manual brags, this has 50 levels of Bomberman, so it's a good bargain, good gaming.
It truly
bargain.
Is. We'll talk about it later, but I think this is a great bargain. And then, because in addition to Game A and Game B, there's a versus mode.
Yeah, bust out that link cable, baby.
If you have two Game Boys, a link cable, and sadly, two copies of Atomic Punk, you can play versus mode. And within versus mode, there's two different modes, panel mode and powerful mode.
So many ways.
And panel mode seems pretty cool because you're like fighting over the resources. Like there's only so many power-ups on the map and you have to discover them before your opponent.
That's right. Yeah. Get in
and
get some.
Powerful mode is you just both start out with like beefed up stats.
And battle.
And battle away.
Battle away powerfully.
Unlimited power. Well, Nick, this is a game from Hudson Soft, kind of a weird developer slash publisher. How did they do bringing this manual to America and giving it a punk makeover?
I think the manual's decent, but, you know, I can't speak for the punk makeover too much because it really only extends to the game cover and the title screen, as we mentioned before. But this is 19 pages black and white. It has screenshots. There's some item art and there's enemy art for both the Atomic Punk and Bomberman enemies.
Yeah, and I like all of it. It's really good. It's really good art.
Absolutely. And if you're wondering who this punk is, well, we've got a great story for you. And it is that the Nukies have invaded Atomica. They have imprisoned all of the people in these prison towers around the kingdom or whatever. And Atomic Punk and his father, Bomberman, have to save the day.
Which
and
also turns out that they're robots.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't know Bomberman was a robot.
I always thought it was a guy in a suit.
Same. I thought it was a guy in a suit, but it's not. He's a robot.
He's a bomber bot, and
he's not a man at all.
That's right. One of the things I do like about this little story is that they say it's like Bomberman's like, I'm going to go underground and save the day. You save the surface.
Yes.
So that's kind of fun, you know, writing him out of the game, I guess. But yeah, and it goes through your, you know, your gameplay, basic
Wait,
game.
Hold on. You're leaving out my favorite part of the story. And that's the last sentence where it says, each character has the power and resources available to blast the Nukies off Atomica and restore peace to the land.
That's right.
I just think it's fine. I was like, oh, I'm glad they pointed that out. I didn't think my character would be powerful enough to complete the objectives of this game.
Believe in yourself.
Yes.
Punk.
But as you were saying.
Oh, yeah. But I think the manual does a fine job of explaining your gameplay, your controls. You know, it shows the enemies. One thing that would be nice is that while it does give you, as I said, some art of the different panels, it doesn't really explain how any of them work.
No, and the names of them don't help either. Like Bomb Pass?
Yeah, or even how to use them. So, you know, like,
yeah.
Like I thought Bomb Pass, when I looked at it, I was thinking of the power-up, at least in the Super Nintendo one.
The kicking
could,
one?
Yes, where you could kick the bomb.
So did I. I was like, all right, cool. I can't wait to kick this bomb. No, did not kick the bomb.
Yeah. Or then, like we kind of mentioned before with the wall pass and speed up, where I was like, these both look like a speed up to me.
I was like, well, one's roller skates, one's a fast man. Which is which?
I will have a race.
Yeah, I don't know. Turns out the Flash one. No. So while it is a very thorough in some ways, it does leave a lot of mechanic questions unanswered.
Yeah, it does kind of get a boo from me for that. But otherwise, it's fine, and these items aren't too tough to figure it out.
Well, Nick, what was your personal history with Atomic Punk?
I did not have one. In fact, aside from, as we mentioned previously, the only Bomberman I had ever really played was on the Super Nintendo.
Same here. I do remember seeing this box.
Oh, yeah?
I do remember seeing it at Toys R Us in the aisle of flip covers.
Sure.
It stood out to me. I was like, Atomic Punk, interesting.
Look, I want to fight the man.
But not interesting enough to ever look into it or buy it.
Sure.
But like you, my Bomberman experiences were all versus each other on the Super Nintendo. Well, Nick, what was your more recent history with Atomic Punk?
Well, I beat this game. I'm trying to think. It would have been five, maybe even six different sessions. I usually just tried to beat one stage per play.
I did about, well, actually, first I have a confession to make.
Oh.
I did not play Atomic Punk.
Oh, what?
I played Dyna Blaster.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the ROM that I loaded onto my... I was like, I can't find this anywhere. And I was like, oh, I've got Dyna Blaster. I guess I'll just play it. And
cup of tea while doing so.
The only difference I could find was that when you start the game, it says Dyna Blaster, right? Yeah. And then game mode A and game mode B are just like the Japanese version where it says Bomber Boy or Bomber Man.
Oh, okay. Fair.
And then beyond that, it's all the same.
Right on. Now,
because I did use the American manual.
Oh, right. And it all carried over.
Yeah, I didn't want to look at the British one because I just get confused with their bumper shoots and prams and stuff.
Needless use in their words of color or honor. So let me ask you this, though. Did you use save states or did you password? Or
I save stated between worlds.
Okay, yeah.
And at the very last level, I did rewind a couple times.
Okay. I found that I used save states, of course, but at least through certain, especially the first chunks of the game till it started getting tough at the end, I really was, you know, if I died, I would just, all right, I'll go back to my save state. So I'm...
Yeah, there was not a lot of pain on death of this.
No, well, and it just makes me think about, like, when you die, you normally would lose all those panels, but I didn't. So it was like I had so much money by the end. You know what I mean? Like thousands of gold that I was like, wow.
I mean, I didn't do that, and I still had more money than I could spend on panels.
Gotcha. I was just curious how my own personal cheating ways influenced, you know, the difficulty, so to speak.
And I actually probably beat usually 2 to 3 each sitting.
Oh, okay.
So I only played this, I think, about 3 times.
Right on.
Because... you know, it's a pretty simple game, but it is, you know, nice and breezy as well.
It's true.
All right, folks, here we are in the general chat portion of our show. And I would just like to start by saying that in Atomic Punk, as in every Bomberman game, the deadliest enemy is not one you find on the battlefield, but it's truly yourself.
It truly, truly is.
I killed myself 3-1, easily.
Yeah,
at least, enemies of this game. Put a bomb here and walk the wrong direction, and now I'm trapped.
Like, what have I done?
yeah.
Or looking at the level right, you know, where I'd just be like, oh, I better get out of the way. And it's like I go down what I thought was a side path, but it truly was just a dead end.
Yeah, yeah. And that really comes into play once you start increasing the range of the bombs.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But I think the kind of, if you will, economic elements of buying the panels, building them up, unlocking them, really adds something. I don't know. It's a good way to spice up what otherwise would just be a simple puzzle game, or quote-unquote puzzle game.
I agree 100%. I mean, it is... it is night and day. I thought, I was like, yeah, okay, this will be an easy game, kind of fun. We'll see what goes on with it. But that one little change, I think, makes this game infinitely more fun and playable.
Yeah, a little strategy, and you can kind of do it your own way. I don't know.
Yeah, you tailor your Bomberman to how you want to play. Like you said, I didn't want to go above 2-2 usually on my fire.
Yeah, play it safe. I don't know. I would like if, because... it's not that a lot of the power-ups are necessarily bad or even useless, but I'm like, man, I wish I had something else, like, instead of all the different passes and other things. And I was like, I mean, they're nice, but I don't know. This feels like a strong first step that I wish would get more refined beyond it, you know?
And perhaps it did in those 80 sequels and spinoffs. I mean, they had to have done something else with it.
Yeah.
But overall, this is a really nice little bite-sized game. This is a kind of, it's almost what I would say is like a perfect Game Boy style game.
Well, sure. I mean, it's relatively pick up and play. You get passwords so you can stop if you need to.
And as far as the way it looks and sounds on the Game Boy, I think the graphics are really good. There's not a lot of enemies. There's not a lot going on. But everything is clear. And the animations are a little better than I was expecting.
Yeah, they're nice small sprites. As you just said, you know, they've got a few frames, which is more than I was also expecting. But I think they're also distinct enough that you know you can tell all the enemies apart from each other, as well as, which is important because they do have different behaviors, which is a pretty cool thing, I think.
Yeah, and you did point out, I know, a thing that you always love, but it's really important on the Game Boy, and that is small sprites. They pack a lot of detail into small sprites, but also the fact that the sprites are small gives you a bigger screen to explore.
Yeah, it's very important.
In a game like this, it is extremely important. Even though it does, you know, scroll outside of the bounds of that original screen you see, it gives you enough on that one that you aren't feeling like surprised or gotcha'd by enemies or things happening off screen right away.
Yeah. And it works well because aside from the different enemies and stuff, the different stages that you go to are kind of themed. There's a stage with wind, there's ice, or, you know, these various things that kind of, you know, it's like, oh, okay, these are fun, albeit simple ways to, you know, mix it up.
Yeah, they go a long way. In fact, that is the other thing I was going to talk about, is that the variety of levels, while sometimes annoying, definitely do keep the game alive. It keeps it, you know, feeling different each time you go. If there wasn't something different in each stage, this game would get really boring after two or three.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like, okay, there's, you know, the one stage that like loops vertically, or...
Oh, do I? I can't wait to talk about that one.
I don't know. It's just funny when it finally dawned on me what was happening. I was like, this stage is huge.
Yes.
It was like,
no. I think those ones gave me seriously, finding the exit in those stages was the most nerve-wracking.
Sure, yeah, because you're like, I don't know where I am in relation to anything. But
and those are the ones that I was very close to running out of time a few moments. Now, there are a couple of things I do like is, A, the fact that Bomberman is a robot. Blew my mind, but also that, like, you are freeing the other worker robots from these factories.
Yeah, you do get a little like scene after each level of you opening the jail gates and the people come out. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I just like that, you know, one little extra thing, and it's just nice to see, you know, your worker brethren free of the chains.
That's right, man. What so I will say, I wish that there were some bosses or something. You know, I don't know if I've only played one Bomberman in bits and pieces, you know, so I don't know if they ever do bosses, but I feel like that would add a little something.
Yeah, I think there is a way to add a boss or just some other challenge at the end of a stage, you know?
Yeah. I mean, not necessarily a complaint, but it's just, I don't know.
My biggest complaint is that the panels in the game to uncover are far too rare.
Yeah, because I really spent the first couple where I was like, I'm blowing them all. I'm going to blow everything up. And then it's like, I found like one item. I found a skate.
Yeah. So. And it's just not worth it because I was like, well, I know I'm running out of time. Like, and it's just wasting my time in real life. So for me, after getting burnt a couple rounds in, I was like, okay, I'm not looking for any extra panels. If I find one during the course of a level, amazing.
I'll take it.
I'm never blowing up any extra panels before I leave.
And the ones I found the most were the bonus points.
Yeah.
I feel like I found way more of those than I did any actual useful panels. So
I don't feel like I had that same experience, but I wasn't really impressed by anything I found ever. So especially when I can just buy it.
Yeah. And again, I can't testify as to how the economics would work out without save states, but I was drowning in money. So
well,
searching where I was like, the amount of time it takes me to find a hidden item, I would make more money than the cost of it, you know, than savings by just finishing the level sooner. So.
And if you sell all of your wall passes and bomb passes and timers, you still get, you know, you get extra money that way.
You got to diversify your bonds, your portfolio.
I think you mean diversify your bombs. Let's talk music, because there's not a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's fine for what it is. I think it's something we encounter in a lot of old games, especially on the Game Boy, where they're short, simple tunes that maybe are slightly catchy, but the most important thing is they don't bug you. Like,
yes, that is, as we've discovered, especially in the realm of Game Boy, music is usually an afterthought.
Sure, yeah.
It seems that way, at least. And the biggest problem is that there are noises the Game Boy sound chip can make that, if used too often, are just incredibly annoying.
That's right, yes.
And this game does not annoy you, but also I have no memory of any of the music in the game.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's like a reverse earworm where it doesn't, it doesn't annoy me. It, you know, I'm left with vague, pleasant memories, I guess, of it.
But yeah, so to me, that is still a plus.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, this is it, the level-by-level portion of our show. And they call the big parts stages, and in the middle of those stages, you have multiple levels. And I think mm-hmm. we'll go through them in order of what they consider difficulty.
Okay.
So you start with the center town unlocked, which is what the shop is.
That's right.
And then you can choose from there, as we mentioned. And it is nice to have a little map. It's always fun to be able to move your cursor on the map.
Absolutely. And where are we going to? What's the first one? Hevel or?
Hevel. And I'm sorry, these names are bizarre.
Oh, I love them. Yeah. They're the kind of names where I kept checking each one to be like, is this something spelled backwards or?
Mm-hmm. And this has five rounds or levels or whatever you want to call it in. And yeah. Do you know what enemies are in this level?
Well, there's the... We'll see Flippy, who is just a panel.
Yeah.
That's like one of the more basic, weakest ones, I believe.
And Flippy is, like you said, a panel that flips over and over. It mainly goes up and down or left and right, but it will turn corners every once in a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who else do we find here?
Well, we do have the Rocky, who appears to be a sentient pile of bricks with eyes. Maybe he escaped from Pee-wee's Playhouse. I don't know.
Could have. And he's more of a chaser.
Yeah, and there aren't that many. Like, so Hevel is divided into five rounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the first one only starts with two enemies, but and the rest you have like four to six. So it's not super crowded at first.
Correct. And as far as Hevel looks...
Well, your destroyable terrain is just, it, again, looks like brick walls.
Yep.
Kind of. But the non-destroyable stuff look like pillars?
Yeah, columns. And, you know, I think at the beginning we kind of just assumed everyone knows how Bomberman works in its simplest form.
Oh, sure, sure.
The way Bomberman is laid out is that every level is a series of unbreakable terrain, mm-hmm. usually in a grid, and scattered throughout it. What almost looks like randomly is destroyable terrain. And you have to bomb your way through that terrain, make it to the various enemies, destroy them. And once they are all destroyed, you can then leave through any exit you have found or find the exit and leave.
That's the way you got to do it.
Mm-hmm. The problem with Rocky is that he looks really cute.
Yes.
So it does feel kind of wrong destroying him.
Well, not only that, but he can camouflage when he's not moving. He will just look like a destroyable block.
Yeah, so, closes his eyes.
Yeah, so sometimes the eyes will peep out. But it's really not that tough. He didn't really ever catch me off guard.
Oh, same. not at all. And once you clear a level, it tells you the stage, which round you've done. You have the time that's left counts down. The number of blocks you've destroyed counts down. And those become the extra gold you get in that level.
Yeah.
And Bomberman flashes you a wicked peace sign.
That's right. Bombs for peace, baby.
Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it? At some point here is where we'll meet a new enemy as well named Clay with a K, who is a weird, gloopy golem man who will come after you, but he can also, or it can also destroy the destroyable terrain to get to you.
Yeah, it might be Andrew Dice Clay.
I hope so. Cassius and Clay?
I don't think it would be him.
Not Henry Clay, I hope.
No, but he is, you know, the fact that he can destroy those blocks sometimes will catch you off guard.
Yeah. Don't get cocky, kid.
No. I think those are all the enemies we find in these first levels, right?
I think so.
You beat them. You save your robot friends. And that area is destroyed on the map. Now, this is your chance. Once you've destroyed a factory, you can go back to the shop to sell or buy whatever you need. And then you go on to your next named round or whatever it is. Stage. Stage is the name.
That's right. Yeah.
So next up, we'll go to Coalesce.
Yeah, this is quite a bit different than, you know, whereas Hevel was only five rounds, this is eight.
Mm. And you'll notice right away, it's a world made of ice blocks. Now you may be thinking to yourself, oh no, I don't want to slide around. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
you are equipped with spike shoes or something because you are not sliding.
Not at all.
The difference is that the ice blocks that are the destroyable terrain take two hits to be fully destroyed.
Yeah, and it's a pain in the butt. I do like that they at least show them semi-melted after the first hit.
And you do get an animation of them melting when they're hit. In fact, all of the terrain has a destructing animation. Like we said, it's another little nice touch they do. So, Nick, what kind of enemies do we find here in this new icy level?
Well, of course, we'll find Tuxie the Tuxedo.
A penguin? That's right. Where else would we find him?
Where else, indeed?
What I don't even remember the movement tactics of the penguins.
They constantly move. I know
they move, but they don't chase you, correct? They're just faster than, say, the panel man.
I think, yeah, they're faster than Flippy. And we also have these, they kind of look like a ladybug. They're called, the manual has them SPLD. So you can pronounce that however you want.
I thought it was SPID. I was like, SPID. And I thought of him as more like a weird snail.
Maybe.
But I could
is.
See Ladybug.
I think you're right. I think it is SPID. I stand corrected. SPID.
And SPID is a chaser as well. Once it knows you're nearby, it will chase you down.
That's right. But frequently, if you drop a bomb, it'll turn around and run away.
Yes. And sometimes it'll just go into its shell and sit there, not realizing it's still in the blast range of the bomb.
Yeah. Fool.
Easiest way to kill it.
Heck yeah.
And but there is one more, much weirder enemy we find here.
Yeah, Spoli.
Good old Spoli.
Which looks like a weird, kind of like a jack.
Yeah, and not like a jack that you raise a car with.
Yeah, or Jack Nicholson.
Nope, you won't find this, you won't find Spoli at any Lakers games.
No sunglasses either, but it just kind of moves around. Right, what is its special? I know it looks weird, but
I think it just goes back and forth.
That's what I thought.
And it can turn corners.
It's...
We totally forgot the most annoying thing that the penguin does. That is freeze your bombs.
Oh, yep, that's right. Yes, that's extremely frustrating.
Yeah, it can run into your bomb and then put a block of ice around it, turning it just into more destructible terrain. And when you blow up that frozen bomb, it does not explode like a normal bomb would.
No, pretty
because
much just...
another thing I think we forgot to mention, standard Bomberman tactics. Any bomb that hits another bomb with its fire will chain react and explode it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a key tactic.
The second easiest way of killing yourself.
Yeah, very familiar.
But yes, this penguin, when freezing those bombs threw me off so many times. I always forgot that it could do that, including during this podcast.
It didn't really like, it was more of an inconvenience than anything because you're just like, ugh, all right, fine. Like, I don't remember dying because of it, but it was just another one of those where it's like, great, now I got to dance around with this stupid Tuxie, the penguin.
Or sometimes it can trap you in an area where you have no choice but to bomb yourself.
Yeah, it's a grim, grim choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are 8 rounds, so while you will start round 1 with 200 seconds, by the time you get to round 8, you only have 80. So it's going down. Still not too terrible. The difficulty is that the enemies, you know, you start with 4 on the screen in round 1, but it will escalate up to 8.
Yeah, and they are all penguins, I think, in that one. So it just gets pretty annoying.
It's where the penguins also are a great place where having a lot of fire ups to give you that extra range before they can get to the bomb to freeze it can help.
And your main tactic with those penguins is actually to not bomb them, but to bomb the corridor they're walking past.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, they're going to hit that bomb and freeze it. But if it's one notch out of their way, they won't turn. So, you know, if you can time it right, that's the way to go.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then once you have rescued the people, they will thank you, kid. And then you can go purchase some things and head to the next world.
Yes, indeed.
Which is Wather.
Wather. And Wather is oddly named because it should be named Water.
Yeah, I wonder if that's a spelling.
it looks like you're underwater.
Yeah, you got a little like kind of foreground-ish graphics that are okay. I don't know. We'll see some spids here as well as spolies.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's really the only change for this level is that there is a watery texture that hides you a little bit, but not in any way that like impeded my, you know, playing of the game or made it more difficult. If you want to say it in a normal way. Now there is at least one new enemy here.
Is that the robot?
And it is a deadly one. It is Robbie or Roby the robot.
Robbie. Yeah. He is a pretty cool looking little bot.
Mm-hmm. He is a search and destroy unit, so he will hunt you down.
Take him out ASAP, ASAP Rocky style.
Can you tell me one fact about ASAP Rocky?
He spells ASAP is spelled with a dollar sign.
Oh, okay. That's more than I thought you would be able to say. Is he not also married to a famous person?
Yeah, he's married to Holly Hunter.
I'm sure he is.
So anyways,
this has been two older guys don't know anything about culture from the last 10 years. Now back to
Atomic
Punk.
Wather the level.
I think it's Rihanna, by the way.
Oh, Rihanna.
So anyways, yes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this is a longer, this has 9 rounds, which starts off super easy with 200 seconds for one enemy and will...
And a tiny board.
Yeah, will grind you down to 70 seconds with 8 enemies by the round 9.
And actually, I do remember this being a little difficult to like... I was sweating it there towards the end.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah, yeah.
There's a few levels that I squeaked out. Like I was like, oh, man, I've got like 10 seconds left.
Yeah, I definitely. And there were some, too, where I would have to catch myself where I was like, I'm going to blow up these bricks. And I was like, what are you doing? You only have 30 seconds, you nut job. Like the door's right there.
I did fail to mention that this is also a game that I really enjoyed having the fast forward button for.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're walking between areas, you're... Loading and unloading of levels is really slow.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, being a little bit.
And you know me, I'm just such a fast-paced guy in this fast-paced world.
Real speed demon over here.
Yeah. But, you know, you rescue your friends, you destroy this factory, and you can move on to the next world. Possibly the most confusing one of all. The world of Grad.
Grad? It's a great world.
I disagree. This is the one that really... I still don't understand how it works, but you are... In a rocky realm that is divided into sub areas, fully walled off.
Yes.
And in each sub area, there is a series of little rocks, and seemingly randomly, a cave mouth opens on one or two of them. Once you enter that cave, you then teleport to another location area that is squared off in that same level. But at no point did I ever feel like I had control of where I was going or understood where I was going.
Yes, it appears random. And given that you can't see the whole screen at once, so it's hard to tell like how many little areas of this map are actually truly there. You know what I mean? Like, are there 4? Are there 8? I don't know. There could be. It's hard to distinguish.
Now, the enemies here are all pretty basic. You've got the panel guy. You've got the rock snail.
Spid.
Our old friend Spid.
Spid Flippy.
So I never felt like I was in danger in these levels from the enemies. The real danger was trying to figure out how to get to the exit that I usually discovered somewhere in the middle of the level.
Yeah. Yeah, if you come down to time, because this level, there are 7 rounds here. And while it only gets down to 100 seconds, so it does give you some time to find it. You're still, you know, by the end, you're fighting 7 or 8 enemies, and that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And it's just really for me, the hard part was just time-wise when I was like, okay, I know that the exit is one area up and one to the left. How do I get there? I just start entering. I was like, oh, it took me the other direction entirely. Cool, I've got 30 seconds left.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does make you feel kind of powerless, but...
You don't want to run out of time points.
No.
Then you'll die.
Time points, man. But defeat Grad you will, because you are an atomic punk.
Indeed. You are an atomic punk. And you can move on to the next level, Windria. Now, this one is properly named.
That's right, because as you might guess, this level has wind.
Yes. And this wind is very annoying because it does not always blow in the same direction.
No, and you have to be ready. It'll blow you around, bombs. It's.
I think it's the most challenging of the terrain variants as far as affecting gameplay.
Yeah, well, and you definitely want to have some movement because, you know, it can make getting out of range of one of your bombs pretty tough.
Yeah, because when you have to walk against the wind, you are moving extremely slow.
That's right. And, you know, we do encounter our final new enemy here, the Bad Bomber.
The Bad Bomber.
Bad Bomber, what bombs at midnight?
You said it right before I could.
And I do
and
like
what makes this Bad Bomber so bad?
Well, he doesn't listen to rules. He stays up late, ruins his appetite.
But he does hunt you down relentlessly.
He looks like a ninja.
I thought he looked like a knight, but I could see the ninja as well.
I see. I'm going off the picture in the manual, to be honest, but maybe that's not what they were going for.
Maybe not. But with these levels, it's all about fighting that wind, and you really have to take that into consideration. You really have to be on your toes, make sure you're not bombing yourself upwind from the areas you need to get to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you know, standard Bomberman procedures all work here.
Absolutely, and we're talking about 9 rounds, so this is a longer one.
It definitely is. Once you have destroyed the factory here in Windria, rescued your buddies... You can move on to Thulia.
Thulia.
Thulia. And Thulia is interesting because it is the aforementioned ever-repeating land. So yes, while the levels are different sizes, they all have infinite vertical boundaries.
Yeah, so it can be tricky to navigate sometimes.
I mean, the hardest part is, especially when they get really big towards the end, figuring out where that exit door is.
Oh, yeah, that's the key there. And especially if you're a destructive person like myself and you destroy all of the destroyable terrain, then the lack of landmarks can make it a little more maze-ish than...
Oh, and I was going nuts because of that. And on top of that, you know, I will say, usually it felt like the exit door is in the top left area.
Yeah.
You know, it's usually somewhere up in that realm, that, you know.
Yeah, well.
But when your top left area repeats, you don't know where that is.
Yeah, and luckily, though, this is a relatively gentle, it only has 6 rounds, and by the final round, while you do have 8 enemies, you have 120 seconds, so you got a little more time points to check it out.
And at this point in the game, you have tons of items.
One of the things I like about this stage is the permanent terrain looks like gumdrops.
They do look like gumdrops, and I you know, as a childhood fan of the Candyland game, I do like it a lot. Well, we only have 2 more levels left, or worlds, or whatever they call them, stages in this game. Next up, we're going to go to Jagaraz.
Yeah.
And how would you describe Jagaraz?
Well, I mean, it looks like a forest. You have some trees that you're exploding, as well as bushes and things, right?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that sets it apart from other areas in my mind is just the fact that it has 2 different looking types of destroyable terrain.
It's a great variety.
The real thing is that these levels are much larger than you've dealt with in the past.
Sure, sure. It also isn't too bad. You've only got 6 rounds here, so that's always a bonus. And this is another one that is loops vertically, so have fun with that.
Watch out.
Fortunately, there's a little more terrain going on, so it might be a little easier to not get lost.
Now, when I did say there was 2 types of destroyable terrain, that is true. But what's funny is the brush-like terrain, you can walk through.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know what and how that would change the gameplay, really, but...
It didn't in my book. And as you said, no new enemies here. So, you know, standard Bomberman rules apply. Burn your way through it, or bomb your way through it, because you have 1 level left. And this level, or world, is a doozy.
That's right. This is Faria, the fire world.
And what makes it so hard is the fact that the indestructible terrain are pillars of fire that hurt you.
Yeah, so...
And that's where the rewind button came in real handy.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I guess if you had a fire pass, that might help. Right, so I would like to point out the name of this world, Faria, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's also the name of a Nintendo game called Faria, A World of Mystery and Danger.
Okay.
And it's kind of an action role-playing game, but I was like, why is this here? It's not even made by the same company, so I wonder if that's like, is the name Faria some sort of like derivative of the word fire in Japanese or something? Is there some similar... I don't know, just curious.
I do not know. But what really gets me about this level is the new enemy you find in round 8.
In round 8, yeah, which we should mention here, Faria is... This is the longest of all. It's a 10-round battle here.
Yeah, and this enemy is not mentioned in the manual. They don't want to frighten you because this is living fire.
Oh my gosh.
And what sets it apart from other enemies is that it can move through fire and through blocks.
So it's coming at you.
It's coming at you in a way that I don't know how to get past one of these levels without taking that fireproof thing or like 2 elixirs.
Yeah. No, I definitely
because they,
did.
They are on you instantly, and there's no way to bomb your way out of like that area before they get to you.
Very aggressive.
It like I tried. I was like, I'm doing something wrong. There has to be a way. There is no way. You have to have one of those 2 defensive things or you're just toast. So yeah, those enemies are relentless. They will hunt you across anything and they can move through anything. So watch out. Luckily, they're only there for the last 3 levels.
Yes, yes. They are fast as well. So
yeah,
ready your bombs.
But once you've readied your bombs, you've dropped them all. You've turned me up. You've turned me on. You've really dropped the bomb on me. You have beaten Atomic Punk. You've saved your last group of robots, and you are treated to a pretty nice crumbling building explosion.
That's right. After letting out all the prisoners, of course. And then you get a neat little, you know, credits over some different scenes of Bomber Boy or Atomic Punk or whoever you want to call him, like kind of standing on a cliff, looking off, getting thrown up by the crowd.
Mm-hmm. You find out all about the Atomic Punk staff, the planners and programmers, character designers, all named, real names, it looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
Always a bonus. And then I love that, you know, it looks like they all thank you. All the robots you've saved, they gather together.
Little parade.
And eventually you like walk down this like whole parade route. And finally you stand on top of a building with a cool looking cityscape. Turn around and get a classic, The End. Thank you for playing from Hudson Soft.
The End.
All right, here we are in the final portion of our show, the review portion. And of course, we use the classic Nintendo Power Review system that has four categories, each category a possible score from 0 to 5, starting with graphics and sound, which I gave a 3.0.
I went a little lower with a 2.5, but I was kind of feeling, I was
thought
like,
you might.
It's, I mean,
everything. I wrote serviceable, and I think you are correct there.
Yeah, it gets the point across pretty well. Nothing.
What got me was
amazing.
That little extra flair on some of those sprites.
Yeah, yeah.
That bit of animation really got me over the line.
Right on.
But yeah, sound-wise, not enough going on to really, like, knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
Next up is Play Control, which I gave a 2.5.
Same here.
It doesn't ask for a lot, but it doesn't also give you a lot.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that you can upgrade your speed and all that, but the turning is a little clunkier than I want.
I would have liked, I don't know, a little more. You have these different, the different passes and things. I wish I could have used my B button to turn them on or off or something, you know, with using the items a little more. Because you do use it, the B button for your remote control, but that's really it. It's just moving and bombs. So it's simple, but effective.
Next up is Challenge Factor.
I was kind of torn here. I would write a 2.5. I feel like I might be saying it's easier than it is because of my save state cheating. It allowed me to drown in money.
I don't think it is. I also gave it a 2.5. It's right down the middle. I mean, it's not hard. It's not easy. It's just, you know, you're going to die a couple times. And the last level is hard.
And of course, passwords.
Passwords always make a game a little easier. And we love them. And the show password. I love it too. Finally, we have theme and fun.
I went with a 3.0 here.
I went a little higher, 3.5. I mean, I think this is just a great time in a Bomberman skin.
Yeah, no, I think it's, I mean, it's truly an interesting development in a Bomberman style game where they found a neat new way to kind of add some extra attraction, at least for me, into it. So I really like that, but it also kind of left me being like, man, I wish there was a little more. You know, this is a fun first step, but I'd like to see where you can keep going. But as it is, it's still pretty solid.
I can see that. To me, I just think that I would have been happy if I gotten this as a Game Boy game.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, as a kid, being like, hey, you know, this is more than I expected, you know?
Exactly. If you got it on sale or clearance, this would have been A-okay. So, Nick, I ask, as I do at the end of every show, should you play this game?
I think so. I think, I mean,
especially unless, if you are a Bomberman fan.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you hate Bomberman, then no, but
no,
you know, it adds a little something fresh you might not get in other of the 80 Bomberman titles that I'm not familiar with.
But yeah, I agree with you. I say give it a try. I mean, it's definitely not a bad game, and it may be one you really find you like the gameplay loop of, so check it out. Next week's game is Shadowrun. But wait, you've done Shadowrun, guys. Well, I hadn't. But this is Shadowrun for the Sega Genesis. Good old Dale will be joining Nick to go over this classic RPG. That's so grab a copy of that game, play along, and find out what they're going to be talking about.
That's right. I'm excited to finally get sink our teeth into this bad boy. I'd like to thank Radiant Blur yet again for your patience. And I hope we will make it worth your while. And if you've played all 80 of the Bomberman games, hit us up. What's the best one? Let us know at cartridgecommand@gmail.com. We'll check it out.
Or hit us up on Facebook at or hit us up on Facebook at Cartridge Command, where we love hearing from you. You give us any ideas you have for episodes that you'd love to see us do, cover? I don't know, whatever the words are. we'll try it out. We love hearing from you guys and gals. And, you know, so many years in, it does help us to hear what you guys want us to cover. So let us know. But we also must go out of our way to thank those awesome, fine, and wonderful folks at Patreon.com that give to us at Cartridge Command at Patreon.com.
Yeah, man. Great people and a great Patreon, let me just say.
Yeah, I mean, it's your guys' financial support that actually makes this happen. We are just two regular guys working full-time jobs, not fancy jobs, not ones that make us a ton of money.
No.
But thanks to you guys, our fees are paid. You pay for our hosting. You pay for our Zencaster, any equipment we may need. Nick has a brand new controller.
It's the best controller I've had in years and years. I couldn't believe it, finally. And thank you all. It really has directly impacted my life multiple times, and I in a good way, and I appreciate it.
And that's all thanks to you guys and gals, our patrons. So thank you all so very, very much.
That's right. And
as always, Cartridge Commandos,
game on!
Game on.
Game on, bro.
I don't know why I turned into a horse there.
This is a weird Wilbur.
My life is excellent. No one hurts me at all.
Hey.